Brother Mike's sermon text this morning is going to be in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day.
I wanted to talk to you today about that day. That day. Which day is that? It's that day which the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus shall return from heaven with his mighty angels. That day. We want to talk about that day. Now there are many things that are associated with that day. The scripture makes them known. We know that we're not going to be talking about a 24-hour day, because when he returns, the timekeepers will be dissolved. The moon, the sun, they'll be gone. So there will be no timekeepers in the sense that we know about. But it's everything that's associated with his return that's going to happen in that day. That's when we talk about that day. Now, there are things that are associated with that, and the scripture makes known. And the gospel is a message of good news. There's good news. There's good news associated with that day for the saints. For the saints, that day will be a good day.
Amen.
It's going to be a good day for the saints when Jesus returns from heaven with his mighty angels. But it's not going to be a good day for all men.
Amen.
The scripture makes this very clear. There are judgments going to be coming to pass on that day when Jesus returns from heaven. When the glorified and exalted Christ shall be revealed in all his glory, in all his power, in all his majesty, Jesus is going to be revealed precisely and exactly as God said he is. It'll be shown and revealed that which God said Jesus would accomplish has been accomplished, and it's going to be made known in his saints. See, God is our King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." The Holy Spirit that dwells in us is working in us. He's teaching, he's guiding, he's instructing, he's helping. So what would make anyone think that the saints are not going to be engaged in this work of salvation, primarily on this day when Jesus returns from heaven with his mighty angels? I want to encourage you in this truth that the saints are going to have a very integral part in that day when Jesus returns. To this point, we get to do these things. That's what I want to encourage you in. You get to do these things that the Scripture talks about, and we'll get to those things. Now, this matter of these associations of when Jesus returns, the things that these are ordained of God, things that are going to happen. God has ordained these things to happen on that day when Jesus returns. And the end result of that is going to be he's going to be glorified in all his saints.
Amen.
And he's going to be admired by all them that believe in him. See, there's going to be this effectualness of and the showing forth that work which God said he was going to do in them, he performed it in them. And it's going to be made manifest on that day when Jesus returns with his holy angels. Now, this text speaks about that judgment in that day. All men are going to be separated into two groups. We'll hear about that later, but I just want to touch on a couple of things. Two distinct groups on that day. Now, we know that there's not going to be any miraculous change to these people on that day. The ones that are filthy on that day, they will continue to be filthy.
Amen.
The ones that are righteous on that day will continue to be righteous.
Amen.
And the ones that are holy on that day will continue to be holy.
Amen.
But Jesus is going to be the one to separate them. He's going to separate them from one from the other. See, there will be no gray lines in that day.
Amen.
Everyone will be separated into one of these two distinct groups, one or the other, and it will be according to the righteous judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no creature, no man, no created being that is not manifest in His sight. In that day, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom all men have to do. It'll be shown that the wicked are wicked, and it will show that the holy ones are holy and the righteous ones are righteous on that day when Jesus returns from heaven. He will make all these things known. And the goodness and the severity of the Lord will be clearly manifested on that day.
Amen.
This judgment will be done in righteousness by that man which God hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus, the exalted and glorified Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. His judgments are all righteous judgments.
Amen.
They're all correct, and they will be shown to be so on that day. Now this one group, identified in the text as the troublers and the persecutors of God's people, the righteous judgment of severity will be upon them by the glorified Christ.
Amen.
He will be the one who will punish them with everlasting destruction. The other group, identified as the saints, goodness is for them. Goodness. For the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in them. To the troublers and the persecutor of God's people, they shall be forever expelled from Christ's presence and from the glory of His power.
Amen.
A severity of judgment so severe that there really is nothing to compare it to, but in view of that truth, it therefore must be avoided at all costs.
Amen.
Although there are many in our time, in our generation, even among church people, who wish to believe that God would not do something like this to men, or even to them that are in the church, but they do greatly err in this false thought, because they know not God, that He is altogether righteous and holy, and He is the God of judgment, who has demonstrated this truth concerning Himself many times and in many, many ways, and He's done it both in heaven and in earth. Remember, He expelled from His presence and the glory of His power those angels that rebelled from Him. He expelled them out of heaven. And when Adam and Eve sinned, He expelled them from the garden. And we have this record of the time of the flood and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, he's a righteous judge. He hates iniquity.
Amen.
He hates it, and He punishes it. In that day when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be punished according to His judgment. And they shall be cast from His presence forevermore, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth forevermore by these ones that are cast from His presence.
Amen.
But what about this other group? What about this other group of separation that the text speaks about? What about those that do know God? What about those that obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? What have they to fix their hope and trust in that day when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels? Well, the gospel has good news to declare unto these ones.
Amen.
To the saints, we've heard this last night, Jesus is coming for you.
Amen.
He's come to receive you unto Himself, for you to be with Him where He is. And for you, saints, each and every one of you, to be part of the actual events of that day.
Amen.
For He shall be glorified in that day in His saints and admired by all them that believe. See, now this is vital. This is vital for us to hear this now in the days of our sojourning about what the apostle is revealing about that day. What qualifies you, if as you will, to partake of this goodness of God? Well, the apostle lays it out. He says, because you believed our testimony.
Amen.
In other words, you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to all that believe and continue to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
when he comes again, see, the goodness is coming with him. His reward is coming with him for all them that believe. That's the point I want to make here now. See, this is another blight in our time, in our generation, that there is this lack of emphasis on faith,
Amen.
In believing. See? They don't make much about faith and believing. But the Scripture is telling us on that day, when the Lord Jesus returns from heaven, He's going to make a lot about faith and believing.
Amen.
In this text, the Holy Spirit is revealing the core issue for the righteous punishment of some and the righteous glorification of the saints. He says, because. See, there it is. It's laid out. It's because. It's clear. We don't have to interpret anything here. The Holy Spirit's laying it out for us. Because the testimony of the apostles, or the gospel of Jesus Christ, was believed, goodness. Or by inference, because it wasn't believed, severity.
Amen.
Those that don't believe the gospel, they know not God. And therefore they obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And punishment and destruction awaits them in that day.
Amen.
But unto those that do believe, goodness awaits them. In that day, because they do know God, and by His grace they are going to be shown that they did obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day, it will be made manifest of all the saints, each and every one of them, from all places of the world, and from all the generations, that these things that God said He was going to do, He did it in them. For instance, it will be shown that the saints received the Word of God, which ye have heard of us. He's talking about the gospel here. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. You received it. You received the Word of God, and there was an effect. There was a manifestation that the saints received this word. He says, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See,
Amen.
You're believing that record that God gave of His Son. See, it brings forth this goodness of God. He's working. He's working in you. And He's working effectively in you unto His desired purpose and end.
Amen.
And in that day will the manifestation of the Lord's working in you, in each and every one of the saints that believe, is going to be opened up. It's going to be opened up and brought to life, brought to the light of what God has done in you, saint. It'll be opened up, and it will all redound to the glory of God. That it is God who began this good work in you, and it is God who has performed it until that day. And that you're still believing. See, you're still trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
God is good. And He's going to show His goodness in His saints. This is all done according to the promise of God. God has a purpose. He does nothing without His purpose. And He has spoken to see what that let all men know what that purpose is. One of the things He said through His prophets in Isaiah 43:19, He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. So God has purposed, and He's promised to do a new thing. Something that is attributed to God and God alone. Things that which no man could do in his own strength. And He would send His prophet Ezekiel to speak about some of those new things that He was going to do. I will do this new thing, God says, Ezekiel 11. He begins to speak in this manner. He says, I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. This is the new thing I'm going to do. And according to his promise, he says, that new thing is going to spring forth. It's going to show itself. It's going to manifest itself. And here in this text in Ezekiel 11, he continues in that manifestation, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So that new thing, see, that new thing that God has wrought in those that believe the record that God has given of His Son is being made manifest. It's being made manifest even now. See, what he's showing now is unto that day when that thing is, when all this is going to be opened up to for all to see it. And in case we were a little slack on hearing what he said there, he's going to repeat it again. He's going to repeat it in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. In verse 25, he has this to say. He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. See, there's the effect. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sprinkle this water on you. You know what's going to happen? You will be clean. Amen. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. He says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take out away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit upon you. And within you. Excuse me. I'll put my spirit within you. That's the new thing. And it's going to manifest itself. It's going to spring forth. He says, I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. See, this is God's salvational working in the washing away of our sins. And he says, I will save you from all your uncleanness. Amen. And in that demonstration of God's working in you, see, the saints are going to manifest that God's done this work in them. See, the gospel is a declaration and an opening up of that new thing that God is working in the earth. That he's working in you. He's doing this work in you, saint. He's doing the work in you. Paul would open up these things, saying, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He is a new creature. God did this work. It's a new work, new creature. To the Ephesians, he talked about this joining of Jew and Gentile. He made in Christ of twain one new man, Jew and Gentile in one. Who would have thought that could happen? Even the apostles struggled with that, even in the early days of the Acts of the Apostles. This was not something that the Gentiles were called of God into this great salvation. Well, praise God, he did. And he did it. See, he made of one new man in Christ. The new man is created after the image of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24. See, that's a new thing. That's the old man was not created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is. And there's going to be expressions of that working of God in salvation. There is also a new and a living way through Christ Jesus our Lord. A way of acceptable reception by God Himself. Those that are in Christ Jesus are accepted of God. Amen. In the Beloved. And even with all this newness around, this world that lieth in wickedness must be done away with. They're not compatible. The new creature and this world are not compatible. That old world must be put away. And so, according to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, for which the new creature will find peace and contentment and satisfaction. See, these are things that we don't partake of now because there's an incompatibility between the new man and this world that lieth in wickedness. And so God's going to get rid of this world and create a new one. this work. He's doing a work. It's according to the purpose of God, getting his people ready for glory, for that new heavens and that new earth. And so there's an accomplishing work being done in us through Christ Jesus, through the Spirit that has been given to us. And this newness does abound in you. The Spirit of your Father speaketh in you, Matthew 10:20, Jesus said. See, there's these new things. The Spirit speaking in you. He's given you ears to hear, brother.
Amen.
His Word abides in you. John 5:38. These are things that Jesus is revealing about this work he's doing now. It's his Word. It abides. It lives. It's active in you. Doing things, accomplishing things, performing things. The love of God abides in you, John 5:42. All these things that are a part and parcel, if you will, of the new creature that's in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of truth not only speaks in you, he dwelleth with you and in you. John 14:17. Christ abides in you, John 15:4. And because of him being in you, much fruit is being born. See, there's the manifestation. There's the manifestation of the work he's begun in you. It's being made manifest. It's showing its forth. His joy dwells in you. John 15:11. And God is in you of a truth. See, these are good things, good news. Good news of this work that God has begun in you, and he's performing it in you unto that day. See, he's getting you ready. He's getting you ready for that day. That day when Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. The exceeding grace of God is in you. The apostle continues to open these things up. The good work which he began in you is unto his purposed end, until Christ be formed in you. Galatians 4:19. And he affirms this to be a working of God, declaring, "For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." These are the works of God that are being performed in his people, in you, saint. He's doing this. With all this divine working being done in you, we have to reckon that at some point it'll have to be made manifest. It has to come out. God doesn't just do a work and then just let it sit on the side. It comes out. It comes out. And it does come out in the saints. And that's the gospel. The gospel is empowering us to make manifest that work which God has begun in you. It's by his grace. It's by his grace that these things are made manifest. These provisions that are made in you. And it must begin in the days of our sojourning.
Amen.
See, we talked about that in this day when Jesus comes again. Talked about change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, but who you truly are on that day is who you're going to continue to be.
Amen.
But even in the time of our sojourning now, see, there is a manifestation of the truth that God has done a work in you. He's showing it. He's revealing it. And so we are ones who are known for believing. Amen. He's showing it. He's given us to believe. We're believing. We are growing. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this kingdom is one of increase.
Amen.
And so we're increasing. There's a warfare involved in this salvation, and we're engaged in it. So we're fighting, and we're warring a good warfare. And by the grace of God, see, we're overcoming. And we are also suffering according to the Word of God. And at times we are cast down because of the things that are occurring. We are dying, but we're also living. We've been made alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, even with all this divine working being done in us, in you, in the saints, it's not always being seen and recognized by many. Not being recognized as a divine working. God's working in you is veiled to many because of the hardness of hearts and unbelieving hearts and blind eyes. They don't see this as this change in you being a divine working. But there are those who do recognize it, and they're glorifying God right now. But this matter of not all seeing this truth about God doing a work in you has a time limit. It's not always going to be like that. It will be in that day. See, in that day when the Lord returns from heaven with his mighty angels, this work that God has done in you is going to be made known. And all are going to see it. Then the fullness of his glory will be made known. And the saints are going to have an integral part in the revealing of Christ's glory. See, for in you, the redeemed of the Lord will be made most full and clear manner as it is displayed in Jesus' return. The glory, we're going to show forth the glory of his very person. We're going to show forth all the accomplished work which he's done in us. In the glory of our being saved by his life. See, all these things are going to be made known and manifest and shown in the saints. In you, each of us. Each and every saint will be a display of Christ's wisdom in forgiving you all your iniquities. There will be a show of his power that turns you away from all of your iniquities.
Amen.
Turns you away from unrighteousness to God. There's going to be a display of this in the saints. There will be displays of his mercies. The reason why you are not consumed, because his mercies were new every morning.
Amen.
There will be display of his grace that taught us and guided us and directed us. Of his goodness and of his kindness directed towards us. And of his faithfulness to do all that was necessary to save us to the uttermost. Now in that day, according to the will and the purpose of his heavenly Father, it's unto Jesus being glorified. That's what this is all leading up to. It's that Jesus is going to be glorified. So Jesus created, the Lord God created a people for himself that they might glorify the Son. See, Jesus in that day is going to be glorified in his saints. And he's going to be adored by all them that believe, by each and every one of them. That which God has promised to his beloved Son is going to come to pass in that day. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. That's the end. Now Jesus is going to get the glory that he deserves. Not all men were giving him that glory and praise and honor on the earth. But in that day, they will. This is what the Father wants for his beloved Son. And this is what the saints want for him as well. And each and every saint will be accorded the opportunity to thank him, to give him honor and praise and glory, and Jesus alone will be exalted in that day.
Amen.
Brethren, this is what the saints get to do. We get to do this. This is what we want to do. And on that day, it's been ordained of God that the saints get to do this. We get to honor him. We get to thank him. We get to worship him face to face. See, we're engaged in that work now. We're thanking him and we're honoring him. But see, we're going to have it face to face on that day. We get to do this because Jesus is truly worthy of our praise and our honor and our thanksgiving. Now, I know you all are familiar with that great passage in Philippians 2. That speaks of Jesus' humiliation, even unto the death of the cross. The text now continues that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. For a long time, I thought this only referred to those to a forcible subjection of the wicked, of the ungodly, of the unbelievers, those who declared and lived in this life that I will not have this man to rule over me. Now, make no mistake about this. That will happen. That happened. All of those who said, I will not have this man to rule over him, will be forced to bow the knee and confess that Jesus is the Christ of God, that he is the blessed of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the only potentate of God. They're going to do that. But the saints get to do that as well, because this is what we want to do. We want to bow down before him on that day. We want to give him thanks and honor and praise. Amen. And we want to confess to him these workings that he has accomplished in all of us. God has ordained that day when he will be glorified in his saints and to be admired by all that believe. And it shall come to pass in that day when all the troublers of God's people, and when all the cynics and skeptics and non-believers are put under his feet and ours, we're going to have a part in that too. You know, we put underneath our feet as well. It will show the utter and complete subjection to the only potentate of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It will be made manifest who Jesus is in that day, and no one will miss it. But for the saints. See, we're focusing on the saints. Encouraging the saints to anticipate this day. The gospel's given you a reason to anticipate this day. We get to do these things willingly. In honoring and praising and thanksgiving to him. We bow our knees to him now, but we're going to bow face to face on that day. We confess him with our tongues now of his greatness and his majesty and his glory. But on that day, it'll be face to face. And so, it's going to be a day of rejoicing, brethren. Amen. What a day of rejoicing that will be for the saints. For those who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, who know God and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is going to be a good day. This is going to be a good day for us all, brethren. And so, we're exhorted, sing. So sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. See? This is the conclusion. The Lord had done it. All that he said he would do, on that day it'll be made manifest, and the saints will join together and say, the Lord hath done it. Amen. Ascribe salvation to our God, O ye saints. Thank his Christ for this working that he has begun in you and performed it until this day. There's going to be this reality of this working being done. It'll be made manifest in that day. So, sing unto the Lord a new song. Let them shout from the top of the mountain, for the Lord hath done it. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise. See, Isaiah was given to see this about this day, this coming day when Jesus would be glorified by his people. And he was getting into it, if you will. He was singing praises and shouting from the mountaintops and exhorting the saints on as well. See, in that day, see, we get to do this. The saints get to do this. With all the saints of all ages, all generations, all places in the earth. These things, I've been encouraged very much by the administrations of the saints already to take hold of these things that are being said, this good news. There's good news associated with the gospel. It is good news. We want to hold on to them, see? See, and that's what the Word of God is. It's powerful. It enables God's people to reckon on these things about the truth of who God is and his promises and what he's going to do. And preaching, see, emphasizes that, strengthens it, strengthens that word that you just hold. You're not going to let anybody or anything take that away from you.
Amen.
See? So the apostle John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he was given something in this manner that I want to leave you with this thought. Hold on to these. These are the kind of things we want to hold on to. The Lord Jesus revealed this to the Apostle John about that day. Apostle John saw some of the Lord alone being exalted in that day. And he wanted the saints to know they're going to be participants in it. And so this is the Apostle John's testimony in the book of Revelation. He said, I heard a great voice of much people. Much people in heaven. There's going to be much people in heaven. He heard the voice of the much people in heaven. Much people, brethren. There's going to be much people. And they got something to say. They got something to say. Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power be unto the Lord our God. He did it. See, he did it as we're standing in his presence, acceptable in him, being without fault in his sight. He did it.
Amen.
And the saints are singing and shouting about it. But that's just the voice of the saints. These are from the earth and from the below the earth. These are the ones that are singing this. Now we're going to hear from the heavens. See, the heavens are going to join into this. They're going to see that God did this. He said it. They're looking in. The angels are looking into this. They're looking to see what God's doing, and he's doing it. And they come to this recognition as this much people is there in his presence. And so what Jesus has accomplished is made known unto them. See, it's made known to these heavenly beings. And they add their voice. And so the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped him that sat upon the throne. And together they all lift up their voice with much people saying, Amen and Hallelujah. See, they got it. God, he did it. The Lord did it. Just exactly as he said he would, he did it. And then a voice came out of the throne. This is just getting amplified as it continues on. The voice came out of the throne saying, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. See, it's all pointing to Jesus, what he accomplished. He says, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And according to God's will and purpose for his beloved Son, that great multitude will lift up their voices in praise and glory to Jesus. It'll be shown. It'll be made known that it was the Lord Jesus that has done this in us. And we are thankful. And we give him praise and glory for it. And that voice is going to be resounding in the heavenly places. As it were, the voice of a great multitude. And the voice of many waters. And as the voice of the mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's done it, brethren. He's done it. And on that day, when Jesus returns from heaven with his mighty angels, it will be made known to the glory of God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you in this now. You're all going to be a part in it. You're all going to participate in this in revealing the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory and honor and blessing, both now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
I'll open up for any of your thoughts or comments. Pardon me? Oh. Got it. Sister Kayla.
I was encouraged by this thought that the new man will experience complete satisfaction.
Yeah.
We're excited if we just consider that we're going to have a relief from trial.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Sister?
Yeah. Sister Bailey wanted to be here this weekend, but she was unable, so I've been sending her some of the highlights of what's being said, and she had a couple of comments regarding your message for the mic. She said, and you shared a thought that who you are on the day of Christ will be who you are forever.
That's right.
And she said, because of this thought, it causes us to first self-examine ourselves, and that it makes you desire to be all the more like Christ.
Mm.
And she also said, that she truly looks forward to the day when she can run to Jesus and thank him for the work he has done in her personally, but also in all of us.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well,
I appreciate everything, Brother Mike, and almost feel like I really ought not to be commenting, but, you know, I just thank the Lord for you, and I appreciate it, this thought about you're going to have a part in it.
Yeah.
And I was helped. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Tim. Very precious truth and insight here that we are the workmanship.
Yeah, we are his workmanship.
And this is what is being displayed in the last day.
That's right. Amen.
This is a glorious thing. Man was the crowning jewel of creation. He saw and he said it was very
good. Yeah.
But this new man that he's created is going to be displayed in that day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Amen.
He's made us to glorify him. And this is this fills us with joy and praise and thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
You know, the devil has managed to turn the idea of glory into something to be like it's selfish. Mm. Like we shouldn't be talking about it. And it's God's glory.
Yeah.
It's not something that only flesh can turn something like that is part of God and turn it into something that could be that have some connotation of something not wholesome. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's not coming out very good. But anyways, what the Lord is doing is actually making himself known in salvation.
Yes,
to be
amen.
Glorified in the saints is that more of God will be seen when this work is done than has been seen before.
Amen.
And that's
yes.
exactly what
yeah.
the angels are intrigued by.
Yeah.
They long to look into this because it's something God is doing and God is seen in his work. And, you know, another thought about that is that when men make something, it's very limited of how much of themselves they can put into that work, the work of hands. But compared to their children, you know, there's some of the father and the mother and the children to a far greater extent than what can be done in the work of hands or work of art. And in salvation, the Lord's doing both. We're his workmanship and we're begotten by him. So when this whole thing is completed, the city, all the people gathered together will be the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and it will be a display of God's glory.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. I keep thinking about all this in terms of Revelation. We're looking forward to this clearing of the fog and the smoke. You know, when it comes to Christ himself being revealed for who he really is, and the saints being revealed, there's a revelation of the sons of God.
Yeah, that's right.
To see who they really are. In some regard, men have a capacity to kind of honor other men in terms of their transformation, like morally. You can see someone who was maybe addicted to drugs or something, and then they make this great change. And Christ works in them to make this change. And ungodly people will attribute that to that man.
Right.
Look what he's done with himself. Look how he's turned it around. But see, on that day, it'll be manifest that it was Christ who did it.
Yeah.
You know, so he's. I appreciate your point with that. This revelation, he's glorified in his saints.
Yeah.
Meaning the saints themselves aren't being a display of, look at how great these men are.
Yeah.
It's a display of, look what Christ has done.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
Even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, look at what the Lord has accomplished in those who have been defiled, who were dead, blind, who could do nothing. And he's made them into these jewels.
Yeah.
He's made them in these precious vessels through which he's displaying his workmanship, his glory. And that's why this picture that John says, is everyone, salvation unto the Lamb.
Yeah.
All credit is due unto him.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you, brother. It is good to be with you.